The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, I'm Bethany.
And I'm Anthony Garcia. And this is The Garcia Diaries Unfiltered.
In this day and age of filters and heavy editing, we believe in sharing the real and raw parts of marriage, parenthood, and real freaking life that often get filtered over. Every week, we share next level, real life confessions from our audience. You'll either feel seen, highly entertained, or maybe even both.
Come hang with us and catch a new episode every Friday. Make sure to follow so you don't miss a single confession.
Hey guys, welcome to Who's On Content, a show that explores and dissects the influential, behavioral altering power of content through thought-provoking, culturally relevant, and industry-shifting dialogues. I'm your host, of course, EJ, Head of Special Projects at DBA, and I'm so fucking excited for you to join me on this journey of getting to know the innovative leaders and creators in our insanely addictive industry of content marketing. I mean, if content is the only influencer of behavior, we might as well figure out who's on content. Let's get into it. Hey, hey, everyone. It's another episode of Who's on Content. And today, I have Dalma Alton, who really is kind of like an investigator of content in a way. Dalma, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I love the way you put that.
Yeah, because you know what? As I was thinking about your content and how you dissect brand deals, how you dissect business deals, I'm like, Dalma is investigating who's on the content that people are sharing in the content of business. And so clearly we had to have you on Who's on Content. And so I always like to ask our guest, Dalma, how do you define content?
Ooh, that's a good one. Content is, I think, contextually, the way we often use the phrase is anything that is published online and shared and broadly distributed. That can be text, that can be visual, that can be video, that can be whatever.
You're using all forms of content to really create what we like to say edutaining content for your community. And so I know you got started with the 100-day challenge. What was that challenge and why 100 days?
I love telling the story. So I like to explore different platforms and I love content and I wanted to start creating more content, but I noticed that I was just afraid of putting myself out there. I think that's something a lot of people experience. So my first 100-day challenge that I gave myself, and the 100-day challenge was just a way of telling my friends, hey, I'm going to be posting on this platform for 100 days in a row, at least once a day. And it's just my way of kind of kickstarting the learning process. If nothing comes out of it, that's fine. But at least I showed up with discipline to this new platform that I want to learn my way around. And I started that with YouTube in late 2020. And I was posting on YouTube to the point where I actually randomly got a kidney infection when I was traveling.
What?
And then I came back to LA. Yeah. So I got a kidney infection and I thought, okay, my back hurts, but it's probably fine. And then eventually I thought maybe it's COVID because I'm getting
everything was COVID in 2020.
I know. I was like, it's probably COVID. I'm just going to sit it out. And then it just kept getting worse and worse. And my partner at the time, he was like, babe, I think we need to take you to the hospital because my fever was 103. It wasn't getting better. I had all these symptoms. I was in so much pain because my body was aching everywhere. And they brought me to the emergency room and they were like, okay, you have a kidney infection and your body's going into septic shock. And they were like, we have to figure out what's wrong with you. We have to pump you full of antibiotics. They gave me the wrong one. It was a shit show. I was there for almost a week, but let me tell you, I was not willing to give up on my 100-day streak. So I kept posting videos.
Time out. You stuck to the 100-day challenge with a kidney infection in the hospital?
In the emergency room, they couldn't even like admit me to the general hospital.
What day were you into this challenge? What day of the challenge were you
into? I was towards the end. It was like day 80 something, 70
Girl.
Or 80 something. So I was like, I can't give up now.
Oh my God. Don't.
And I looked crazy. And I will tell you, I will say that I was like, it's really hard to post a YouTube video when you're sick and like haven't slept or eaten in a while. So I'm going to switch over to IGTV, but I kept up the video content. So that was my first 100-day challenge. And that teed things up for my TikTok 100-day challenge because I was like, you know what? At this point, I've been on the internet in a hospital gown from the ER. So nothing's going to faze me. I don't care if I look
right. You're like, girl, please.
Yeah. I was like, bring it on. So I was like, I want to learn TikTok because this is the new sort of relevant platform. And what better way to learn it than to force myself to post every day for 100 days in a row. And by week 3, basically, as soon as I started talking about the Kardashians, as one does, it went viral because I was talking about business. I was taking a business lens to dissecting their past failures and wins. I was talking about Kim's and Kris Jenner, et cetera. And that really just hit on TikTok. And from then it's been off to the races.
Now, so did you always start? Well, first of all, man, shout out to you. It's never that serious, but shout out to you. And it's the discipline and it's the consistency and really it's the vision to actually seeing a dream actualized. And I think for you to be so consistent and diligent, even in the ER, that's like the universe rewarding you for where you are today, because despite where you were or what you were going through physically, you were still willing to give all of yourself to this thing. And so I hope that our listeners take, at least if they don't take anything from this interview, they take the tenacity, they take the discipline, they take just the sheer will to say, fuck it, I have to do this by any means necessary. And I think your success is a testament to that. And so what was it about? Did you always create business content during the 100 days, or did you like 30, 40 days in say, I'm gonna switch what I'm sharing?
Yeah, I just started posting kind of like random trend videos and it wasn't really going anywhere. And then by week three, I was telling one of my roommates who actually manages YouTube creators. So she's in the YouTube world. I was telling her, what I really want to talk about is I want to profile female founders and female founder brands. That's what would light me up. I would be really excited to keep doing that. But I'm worried that nobody's going to want to hear that on TikTok, because that's not usually what I find on TikTok. And she was saying, well, you might as well try. And she showed me this like YouTube video, like this like motivational YouTube video. And she was like, you just got to go for it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go
for
it.
You're like, I'm going for it.
and it really did like immediately kind of take off the first few videos. The second video I posted about business was, again, focused on the Kardashians, and it got over 2 million views. And I realized this is, not only is this working in terms of the algorithm favoring this kind of content, but also I really did interpret it as the universe is telling me something. Like, there's something here. And there's a reason I've been wanting to talk about business in this way, because I feel like it's, you know, it's my element. So I love what you were saying earlier about the tenacity to follow your dreams, because for me, it's not just about content. For me, I've always wanted to go in the direction of media and content, talking about female founders and female founder brands. That's always been in my heart. And I do think I had this inkling that, like, okay, it might not be exactly YouTube, it might not be exactly TikTok, but it can't hurt to start to try this.
Yeah.
So I was willing to show up with so much discipline. And I'm not that disciplined in every area of my life, but with the things I care about, I really care. So that's also part of it, is I think when you know there's something in your heart, you have to trust it and really show up consistently, because consistency is magic. It really is.
It really, really is. And so what was the content you were consuming that inspired you to want to talk about female founders? Were you in a female founding company? Like, where did that content kind of spark the idea of, oh, I want to continue to tell these inspiring stories?
So I run a community, a private community of women who are all D2C founders. So
ooh, come on, private community. Where is this community based?
Right now it's on Facebook, but we're going to migrate, because I started it in 2019, back when people still used Facebook. But it's 1,700 women around the world who all have their own brands, and they're so inspiring. They've, you know, some of them have raised venture capital, some haven't. They all are doing such interesting, worthy things. And I've been running that community for a few years, bringing guest speakers to teach workshops, et cetera. So I've learned so much by talking to hundreds of women who are in the community, hundreds of instructors. And so through that process, I kind of got a sense of, you know, there's a type of content I'm not seeing on the social media platforms that I really think there's an audience for. This is what I wish existed. This is what I wish people would talk about on YouTube or TikTok or whatever. So maybe I should do it. And I wasn't sure, but I think it was a response to sort of like the world I was in, the business that I was running, but also it was content that I didn't see. And there's this really beautiful Toni Morrison quote, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's something like, if there's a book you really want to read and it hasn't been written, you have to be the one to write it. I mean, literature, grand classics of American literature are in a different, you know, sort of ballpark altogether. But I do think it applies to content. If there's content you wish you could see, then maybe it's up to you to create it.
That's the group, Make Lane Masterclass. That's amazing.
Yeah, there's a community and there are courses and workshops.
Oh, so good. So good. And so let's go to this viral video, right? This 2 million views on the business of the Kardashians. Because I think a lot of people don't understand that it is a business, and that these women our businesses, in that you have to have discipline and a sheer will to win in order to be as successful as they are. And so what in the posting of the video did you uncover? Did you already have all of your talking points, or did you do your research first and then kind of put the content together?
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about their business failures, actually. I started to dig into them as businesswomen. And I totally agree with you. People really underestimate and sort of write off the Kardashians for various reasons. But regardless of how you feel about them, you have to hand it to them that they are incredible.
You can say and call them whatever you want. You will never be able to call them broke.
Yeah, exactly. And truly, they are business geniuses. And so so I started digging into that, and I was really sort of fascinated by their whole trajectory. And then what I uncovered was they've been at this for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And they've tried a lot of different things, and a lot of those things went to zero. And some of them didn't even make sense. Like that time Kendall and Kylie supposedly authored a sci-fi novel. And you know what?
I didn't even know that.
They have really thrown spaghetti at the wall over the years. So what I concluded was, we see the Kardashians now and their multi-billion dollar brands and all the sort of resources that they have, how established they are and influential they are in culture and society, but we don't see all the work it took to get there. We just assume, oh, they were from a rich family, or Kim made a sex tape. But you don't just become multi-billionaires by having a sex tape. You don't just become multi-billionaires by being
Period. Talk about it.
Exactly. And so I was thinking, people need to know about like how hard they've been working to eventually get to this point. This didn't just happen overnight. It actually was a concerted effort over honestly almost two decades. And so that's what I realized. And I wanted to create a video showcasing the failures that they've had, the business failures, because we see the successes now, right? They're all up in the place, but we haven't seen all the failures, or some people forget about them. So I made this video about the different business flops that they've had. And the point of it was not to trash them. My page is never about that. The point of it was to showcase, hey, like even these people who seem to be at the pinnacle of influence and success and celebrity, they have had to endure all this failure, all these stops and starts to get to where they are. So for anybody, failure is part of the process. You have to go through trial and error.
You only grow during your failures.
And you always learn. So there's no, I personally believe there's ultimately no such thing as failure at the end of the day, because if you learn something, it's not a failure, right? You're always going to build on that.
So. Yes. And so how long was this video? I mean, you're covering two decades. How long was your video?
I don't remember exactly how long. I think it might have been like 2 to 3 minutes. Most of my sort of deep dives where I kind of like analyze brands, they tend to go right up to that 3 minute mark.
Got it.
But I think it was that long. And then, and then it hit like over 1 million. And then now it's over 2.3 or 4 million. So that was my super, I think to this day, that's been my most viral video.
And that is your most viral video on TikTok, right? And so is TikTok your main platform for... Mm-hmm. all of the content that you're creating?
Yeah, TikTok is my main platform.
Okay, awesome. And so kind of talk to me about, is there a resonating theme when you're doing these deep dive of businesses? Are you seeing a recurring failure theme, or is each one unique?
That's a really great question. So I cover two types of businesses. One, I talk about celebrity brands a lot, influencer brands, celebrity brands. And another category is just regular brands by people who are not necessarily celebrities or influencers. Mm-hmm. And so some of the lessons and takeaways, there are, of course, overlapping sort of principles that lead to success. You know, you have to find something that's truly differentiated. You have to have a unique value proposition. You have to build a strong brand and community, because I talk about consumer brands a lot. So community is a big part of it. So all that is true for any kind of a business, celebrity or not. But for celebrity brands, I would say there's a level of authenticity of, you know, perceived authenticity between what a celebrity is selling and kind of what we know them to be about. That's important. How involved we perceive them to be is, I think, important. It makes it feel not like a quote unquote cash grab. So people feel more invested in actually trying out the product. Is it actually different? If you were to take away the celebrity face or name completely, could that brand and could those products still stand on their own? That's the ultimate litmus test. The answer for most 99% of these celebrity brands is no, frankly. But if you can say that, then that's really powerful. So I would say you like Skims falls into that category. I mean, obviously the massive success it's had so far is in large part thanks to Kim Kardashian's her celebrity.
Right.
But even if you take that away, people love the product and they're beautiful and they're good. And she really has good sort of product instinct. So the products are good. Rare Beauty is another example. Fenty Beauty is another example. This, in my mind, is sort of the trifecta of today's most successful celebrity brands that actually could stand on their own if they needed to, although of course, they're helped largely by the stardom of their, you know, the faces of those brands. But I would say, yeah, those are the kinds of things I talk about a lot.
I love it. And so you, like you said, you are very inspired and very motivated to tell the stories of female founders. Again, the content of that, of you growing up, was your mom or women in your family female founders? Like what has developed like this love for shining light on female business owners?
I love that. Yeah. I think actually for me, it was because I am an immigrant. I wasn't born here. I came from Mongolia. My mom brought me here when she was pretty young. And I was 6 years old when I came here. And then I went back and forth between California and Mongolia for a while. So we had your typical sort of like immigrant origin story where we struggled in the early years when we were here.
Yeah.
And so everything I've accomplished, I've had to do for myself. You know, I figured out how to get into an Ivy League school. I got my first job at Google. I worked really hard to get those things. And I think that gave me an appreciation for when women, especially women in more sort of economically vulnerable situations, are able to attain that kind of agency when they're able to, you know, either get an education or start some sort of a business or do whatever it takes to achieve a certain level of economic and financial freedom, or at least the potential to turn whatever they've accumulated into economic agency. That's so powerful and it's so inspiring and it's so important. And so I think that's where this fascination comes from is, you know, I was raised by a single mom and I'm an only child. So sometimes I feel like we're the Gilmore Girls, but I'm probably not.
I love it. Oh my God. Talk about content. Old school content.
I know. Oh my gosh. Such a classic. So I think it's just coming from that place of, you know, just seeing what it's like to be two women who are immigrants in a country that is, you know, sometimes hospitable to immigrants, but not always. And it's hard. It's hard to come to a new country and, you know,
make your way.
Yeah, make it work. It's really hard. So yeah. I think that made me think I want to devote myself to helping kind of create more seats at the table for other women because I've been fortunate enough to carve out a space for myself.
I love that story. I love that. And it definitely is a testament to, like, it all kind of makes sense, right? And, like, to, like, really tie it up in a bow, it's like your 100-day challenge was the motivation to see if you could, like, again, have this dream realized. But you had that discipline from an early age when you went to an Ivy League school. Then you went to Google. It's like it's always been in you to, like, go after the things you want and not stop until they're actually achieved.
Yeah. And the other thing I'll add is I am very willing to walk away from what's not working or what doesn't feel right. I think that's the other piece that sometimes people don't have, especially sort of like type A overachieving people. If you start something, you just want to see it through, you want to make it work, or you're worried about what people will think or what your family or peers will think if you quit. This can also apply to entrepreneurs. Sometimes it's really hard to walk away from a business, but sometimes you need to. Sometimes your first sort of business baby is not the one that's going to really scale and be the thing that you devote yourself to. So it's important also to be discerning about what you throw yourself into with full discipline and commitment. And then it's important to be able to say, you know what, this is actually not right, or this is a stepping stone, and I'm going to keep sort of pursuing this trial and error until I find the thing that really clicks.
I love that. And so as an edutainer, right, you create content that is educational and also entertaining. So you are an edutainer. As an edutainer, who is kind of like the community members that are like investing in your content, you know, sharing your content? Is it all business owners? Is it all people that are consumers of the brands that you're talking about? Like, kind of break that down for us.
I love that question because I was also curious about that going into this and starting to get a little traction. I was curious, like, who is actually watching my stuff? It's pretty much a combination. So it's industry people who share my videos in their, you know, team Slack channels, and they circulate it with their friends who are also in the industry. Those people tend to gravitate towards my sort of like hot takes, my commentary, my analyses. It's almost a little bit journalistic sometimes what I do. So I think they like those takes. And then there are people who are just consumers of these brands or who follow these celebrities and want to know the business tea, basically, because we live in a world of like, you know, all these docuseries and documentaries about businesses that have collapsed or have risen. And we want to learn that stuff. And I really love that appetite we have for being more sort of business literate as a society. And I think I also tend to create content that feeds into that impulse.
Yeah. And, you know, I said that there's so much scamming content. We are in scamming season. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it has been a scamming season of content, and I'm here for it. And I love that the content is diverse, right? Because we think about scammers being people of color or immigrants or like people coming to America to steal our jobs or steal our money. And it's like, this is everyday white Americans scamming the girls left and right. And I'm here for it. And so I do think our society has become very like bloodthirsty, hungry to understand how someone makes a dollar. And I don't know if that is to inspire other people to see that success, fame, and fortune are attainable, or to like scare the shit out of people, like, oh my God, like having that much money got them in so much trouble. I don't want any money. So I'm still, the jury is still out on what all of this available information on how to make money is going to do to society.
That's such a great question. And I also haven't really probed that deeply, but now that you say it, I also think it ties back to like, we're living in economically uncertain times, right? We're seeing cracks in like a capital system and who it includes and who it excludes. And we're starting to feel more and more disillusioned by that, especially now as inflation goes up and, you know, the pandemic was obviously a big shock to the economy, et cetera. And all of these things are making us think, what is actually going on here? What's the sort of like real tea? Like what's the behind the scenes of how these big agents of capitalism actually operate? What do we need to know as informed consumers and citizens? And I think that's also inspiring this fascination with how business really works.
I love that. And so I always like to say when people do great work, I'm like, you're doing the work of the Lord, girl. You are uncovering, lifting the veil on these businesses and these brand deals. Are businesses and brands coming to you to say, hey, will you profile us? Or have you ever profiled someone and they said, hey, take this shit down?
No, they haven't said that. Okay. So the answer to the first question is, yes, I do get approached by brands who want to do like a pay to play. Will you profile us? But I never, those never move forward because I don't want those videos to actually be influenced by money. I mean, if something super aligned down the road, maybe that'll change. But right now, my principle is I kind of want to keep church and state separate. If I do brand deals, it's going to be more about, you know, resources I'm sharing that are going to be helpful for business owners. So that's more what I like to focus on as far as brand partnerships. And all of this is still relatively new to me, so I'm still figuring out the whole brand deals thing. But I will say that, yeah, I do get approached, and I actually like, I do get also a lot of free products, right? I talk about a lot of beauty brands. So right now, like downstairs, there are boxes and boxes of free like skincare and beauty products. And I'm not mad about that. But
you're like, thanks.
But it's not necessarily going to influence what I say. I'm going to try the product, and that helps give me a more informed sort of analysis of what I can say about, you know what, this brand is doing well for these reasons, or it's not doing well because the products are not that differentiated. That's the extent to which it influences me. It just informs my opinion. But yeah, I think brands also probably know I'm like, or maybe they don't, I don't know. Maybe there are people where it would be easy to sort of, even if they're taking a journalistic approach, to like kind of pay them to say nice things, but that's not the approach I'm going to take at all, because the trust with your followers, that is precious, right? That's priceless.
That is priceless.
But there hasn't been anybody who said, hey, can you take this down? But I do think it's sort of like a tricky part of this territory for me, where I recently, you know, met somebody that I'd made an unfavorable video about, and I'm always doing it in good faith. It's never meant to trust the person. It's always educational, but I did feel a little awkward because I thought, man, like, you're being so gracious, and I really respect you for that, because I said things that are not necessarily favorable about your approach and your strategy. But I think it's also, you know, I think it's good for these brands to take it in stride, because I do try to be educational and not gratuitously like rude.
Yeah. And I think that is the content of social media, right? When we think about what we're seeing online, it's just like, it's just content, you know? And it's almost like the expectations of what people have when they meet celebrities. They expect celebrities to be, you know, gung-ho and game to take selfies at dinner. It's like, dude, I'm at dinner. I'm not on a red carpet. I'm just trying to, like, get a quick meal and go home. I'm a human being. And so that founder or that business owner that you met where you made that unfavorable video. It's more so about them understanding that you are a human being, they are a human being, their business is not them. And so, like you said, separation of church and state, like separating yourself from the business allows you to receive or to receive feedback on how the business is performing in a very, not critical, but in a critique. It's like we learn from criticism and we learn from critical thinking that others are doing on our behalf in order for us to be better. And so I'm sure that founder is probably successful in some way because they can separate themselves from the professional and the personal. You recently spoke at the WWD Beauty Summit, correct?
I did, yeah.
I mean, what was that moment getting that invite to speak? Because some people are invited to attend. You are invited to participate. Are you a spectator or are you a participator? And honey, you were a participator. And tell us, what was that experience? What was that feeling you got when they invited you to speak? And what was the topic of what you spoke about?
It was so surreal and it was really, really wonderful. I mean, anything I could have hoped for, I would have been happy if I just didn't like trip and fall on the way up to the
a la Jennifer Lawrence.
and delivered what I had to say in a coherent way. But it really went better than I could have hoped for because I was able to meet so many TikTok creators and brand founders and people that whose careers I've been following for years who came up to me and said, I love your TikTok content. I follow you. I'm such a big
it's
fan.
Amazing.
That was a surreal moment. Getting to meet the other founders who are on stage with me, Hiram Mirabro, Jackie Aina, Mariana Hewitt. It was amazing. They were all so gracious and sweet. And just it was an incredible experience. And I feel really grateful that people even want to listen to what I have to say. Honestly, every time I post a TikTok video, I'm like, I don't know if this is useful at all, but I'm just going to say it and people like it. And it's still pretty surreal to me because I love doing this. It's almost like it's so fun and it comes so naturally to me. And I love obsessing about this stuff that I can't believe it's become a career. So I just feel really grateful for that. And the WWD Summit was just sort of like the pinnacle of that. And it's not even about the summit. It's not even about being invited to all the nice or fancy things. It's just, this is a sign to keep going. And it's a sign that what I'm doing is finding the right people. And that feels so good.
Yes. And I always tell people, taste the Kool-Aid. Do not drink the Kool-Aid. You want to taste the flavor, make sure it's exactly where you want it to be, optimum sweetness, but do not drink a full glass because that's when your ego gets into it. And that's where you see people's content become so consumed with virality, right? Yeah. People that go viral, unfortunately, sometimes drink a full cup of their Kool-Aid and constantly try to chase that flavor of virality that the content starts to fall off. And people are like, I don't even know what do you stand for?
Right? Yeah.
When you're creating content, I always say you need at least three pillars of content that you can go back to. So then you have like three audience members that are like, I'm here for this, I'm here for that, and I'm here for this. So you don't get stuck in a rut of always trying to do the viral thing. It's like, go back to basics. And so the success, the notoriety, the attention you're receiving just 2 years in, like you've been doing this since 2020.
I started posting TikTok content in September.
So not even 2 years. You're a couple of months in.
Yeah.
And I would say that you are the influencer's influencer because the girls that know and the girls that get it and know that you're the one that really understands business and understands the economics of business. And with all of this attention, like you said, it's so great. And these are just little nuggets that the universe is giving you to tell you to keep going. What is the future for Make Lane? What is the future for the media empire that you are building?
I love that. I love that you see all of these things that I don't always make explicit. I mean, I talk about them with friends and I write about them in my little, notion, sort of docs, but you're really seeing it. And I love that.
That's why it's Who's on Content? Because I see the content. I see it. And
yeah,
it's
exactly.
So great.
That's why you do what you do. Yes. So there are layers to how I think about it. Right now I'm creating content that showcases and profiles female founders, female founded brands. And I love doing that. And I think there's an audience for it. And I like the idea of kind of filling this gap in the market for something like that in an easy, digestible, but educational, high quality way. And I love doing it on TikTok. What I can see this turning into is a podcast, newsletter, more of a media platform. And ultimately what I want that media platform to do, it's not just about encouraging people to start businesses. Not everybody should be an entrepreneur. And if you want to be, that's amazing, go for it. Not everybody should be an influencer, but if you want to be, that's amazing, go for it. It's really about kind of creating all these examples and stories that show you that whatever it is that does feel aligned for you, you can do it. You can go for it. It's possible for you. If it's possible for them, it's possible for you. By the way, here are the tools, here are the strategies, here's the educational component of how you can accelerate that journey for yourself. So really, I love media and I love content. You and I share that. What I would love to do is create some sort of a media platform that can help accelerate people's dreams. That's what I want. That's all I want.
I love that. And see, you are being of service to something greater than yourself, and that's why the universe is rewarding you. Mm-hmm. And so we have come to the portion of our show. It's called Rapid Fire. So I'm going to ask you four questions. And after each question, I'm going to say or ask who's on content. And so, for example, if I say your favorite form of content, you can say videos, books, movies, or you can name a platform. Mm-hmm. Got it? Yeah. Awesome. All right. Your favorite form of content, who's on content?
I love podcasts.
And what's your favorite podcast right now?
My all-time favorite podcast, and it's about to be this, obviously, it's called Acquired FM. And it's like a crazy long form version of what I do on TikTok.
But okay. Acquired FM?
Yeah. So they do these like 2 to 3 hour deep dives on different companies or figures. They did like a deep dive on Oprah's career. They did a deep dive on, you know, Facebook, Tesla, SpaceX, whatever.
About to start listening to this. I'm into this show.
It's amazing. I would recommend starting with the Oprah one is amazing. And also the Berkshire Hathaway one, like about Warren Buffett's entire career.
Anything it's about like, Warren Buffett? I'm like, I'm here for all of it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You need a reset. Who's on content?
I need a reset. Okay. So there's this woman named Xenia Brief, and she talks about she talks about content and social media content, creating content, but in an aligned way. And she's very spiritual. And I think about things through that lens often. So she talks a lot about alignment and creating content from an aligned place, from a place of service. And I really, really love that. So I love just even her voice is so soothing. So even if you just kind of zone out and listen to her like dulcet tones in your ear.
I love that.
So calming.
Awesome. When you need to be inspired, who's on content?
The truth is, it's probably still a podcast because I listen to so many podcasts that it would be that or I... No, it would be that. I probably listen to one of the like different like interview podcasts that I like. So it's usually just hearing about somebody's story, somebody's thinking that always kind of inspires me.
Amazing. And last rapid fire, when you need to feel joy, who's on content?
I think TikTok can be a really joyful place.
Okay.
Is so joyful. Yeah. I mean, I think it can be like a bottomless sort of like black hole where you get sucked in for 4 hours and then days. That's also true.
Yeah.
But if you know how to like set a limit for yourself, I think it can be really joyful. And I just love this sort of like, you know, element of trends where it feels like everybody's participating, adding their little spin on kind of an existing trend. Like I love that. And I find it kind of goofy and fun and sweet. So I love TikTok.
Yeah. We had Kudzi, who is director of creator community at TikTok, on Who's on Content. And he talked about the main goal of TikTok when it was being developed was to lower the barrier to creative content. Mm-hmm. So like just making it easy for anyone and that you didn't have to be this type of person or this type of content creator. Like, so that kind of makes sense when you say it's like joyful to see people contributing to a trend and kind of like all coming together in this community-based way.
Yeah, I love that. And also TikTok just makes it so easy for anyone to be nerdy about whatever it is they love because it'll find the people who are into that. I'm a testament to that. Mm-hmm. I nerd out about business and people bother to watch my 3-minute videos. So I feel like it's also good for like nerds, you know, not just like in like a narrow, like scholarly sense, but just like anything you love to nerd out about.
Oh
like
my God.
That on TikTok. And I just love that.
I love it. I love it. Dawn, my last question. I mean, we've talked about and I love that our episode is really around spiritual alignment, around discipline, around consistency. All of these things are key ingredients to successful businesses. And so with the advent of social media and all of the platforms and everything that's going on, what's the future of content marketing?
The future of content marketing is building relationships, building community, building a movement, or participating in an existing movement. Because increasingly, we're all on our phones. Increasingly, there's so many businesses trying to sell us things, so many influencers trying to get our attention. So the ones that are going to truly stand out are not the ones with the most polished photos or with whatever features in their products. It's the ones that make us feel something. And we're going to have that if we have a relationship with them. And the way you build a relationship is you have to be genuine and you have to stand for something. And yes, I think that's going to matter for even more moving forward with the saturated space that we're in.
Oh, ma'am. Spoken like a true genius and industry leader that you are, Dalma. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us on Who's On Content. You are absolutely amazing and truly an illuminary. And I just can't wait to continue to follow your amazing business that you're building.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. And you are so gifted at this. This was a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks again for listening. Be sure to follow us at The Real DBA and give us a rating and leave us a review. See you next week.